good evening from the Steinbarger household. Thanks to them. Thanks to Greg's knowledge of all this technical stuff. We are able to tape record and put this sermon up for everyone to listen to. Before we begin, though, let's just ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us great grace. Father, as we just think about the times that we are in, Father, that we pray that you would give us great knowledge and wisdom, even as James tells us to ask for wisdom at these times and at this particular time as this virus is outbreaking all over the world. Father, we know that you are in control, and that brings us great comfort. I pray that, as always, that Christ would be lifted up. I pray that he would increase, that we would decrease, Father, that you would work greatly among us. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your truths. And I pray that you would be with us at Grace, Father, as we just navigate these times, that the gospel might be proclaimed and that we might be sanctified. And Father, your truth go out to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of this sermon is Three Foundational Truths to Remember During COVID-19. These are very interesting days. With the outbreak of COVID-19, known as the coronavirus, our world has literally been turned upside down. It is considered to be a world pandemic. Though, to put it into perspective, it doesn't yet appear this outbreak will come anywhere close to the Spanish flu in 1918. It's estimated that about 500 million people, or one-third of the world's population, became infected with that particular virus. The number of deaths at that time was estimated to be at least 50 million worldwide, with about 675,000 occurring in the United States. Now, as of Friday, there are just over 15,000 cases in the United States with 201 deaths, though I have heard on the news these numbers have already spiked and will continue to do so. Our civil authorities are doing everything they can to limit the spread of this disease. So many things in our lives have changed. On the lighter side, someone sent me an app to determine how many days of toilet paper I have left in my household. We had some fun with that one. Another interesting tidbit. Those of us with school kids at this time have all of a sudden become homeschoolers. Let me read one very cute note from a boy named Ben. On their very first day of class at home, they had to write a journal entry. And here is what he said. It is not going good. My mom's getting stressed out. My mom is really getting confused. We took a break so my mom can figure this stuff out. And I'm telling you, it is not going good. This is funny, and we laugh about this, but on a more serious note, I would like for us to think about three foundational truths that will help us as Christians, as the Church of Jesus Christ, help us to navigate these times. And here are the three truths. I'll go ahead and give them to you. Number one, God is sovereign. Number two, we are God's people. In fact, we are God's special people. And number three, our mission is still the same. So the first foundational truth to remember during this time, and I would say at all times, but that is, God is sovereign. At any time in the history of the world, whether it be the coronavirus or a great world war or hard times in your family, God is in control. And this is the most comforting truth. Knowledge of this truth anchors our minds, our hearts, our souls in times like these. When we think of God controlling all things, we often use the word providence. Listen to the Heidelberg Catechism on the subject of providence. Here's the question. What do you understand by the providence of God? Answer. Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which he upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us, not by chance, but from His fatherly hand. God controls all things. He controls the nations. Psalm 33, 10 and 11. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. He controls nature. Psalm 135, 7. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from His storehouses. Psalm 147, verse 7 and 8. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. God is sovereign over Satan and evil spirits. This is most clearly displayed in Jesus' earthly ministry. In Mark chapter 1, verse 27, we read, "And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this? A new teaching? With authority, He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey Him." God uses wicked people for His plans. Acts 4, verses 27 and 28. "For truly, in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan, had predestined to take place." God hardens hearts. Exodus 14, 17. "And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so that they shall go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen." God sends trouble and calamity. Isaiah 45, 6. "That people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things." God does what He pleases, and His plans cannot be stopped. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." In short, God guides all of our steps, and He works all things according to the counsel of His will. So what do we do with this truth in a time like this? One quick application. There is no such thing as an accident in the sovereign plan of God. There are no accidents in my life. There are no accidents in your life. Calvin wrote, "What else can we wish for ourselves if not even one hair can fall from our head without His will?" As Christians, we know God is sovereignly working all things according to His will. Nothing has caught Him by surprise, and He is working these things according to His will. That's truth number one. Truth number two, we are the special people of God. In the Old Testament, we see this with the nation of Israel. Isaiah 41, verses 8 to 10, we read, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth, and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, You are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In the New Testament, this is the church. In Ephesians 3, verses 4 to 6, Paul says, "When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The applications of this truth are enormous for us in our situation right now. The reason we do not fear is not merely because God is in control, but because we are partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the most beautiful gospel of God. The reason we do not fear is because our sins are forgiven. We are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:6. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, Galatians 3:13. He himself has bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed, 1 Peter 2:24. Because of the death of Christ, the wrath of God is removed, and our sins are covered. They are thrown as far as the east is from the west. And through Christ, as our substitute sacrifice, we have free access to God. He is now sitting at the right hand of God as our high priest, always interceding for us. He is risen from the dead. He sits in glory where he belongs, at the right hand of God. And this is the gospel. All fear of a holy God is gone. All guilt because of the death of Christ and what he has done has been taken away. We are his special people, the church, the body of Christ. I have a few applications for this. The first one is this: God is for us. As his special people, as Christians, as those who by faith are united to Christ by the Holy Spirit of God, God is working all things for our good, Romans 8:28. Whether it's life or death, feast or famine, sickness or health, our good will be the result in the end. And this is what God is doing for his special people. Another application: cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. There is nothing better than to go into your prayer closet and pray to the God who controls all things and cares for you. I know that in my own life, in the last week or so, since all of this has been happening, I have been, in all honesty, I've been praying more. I've been getting up earlier, and I've been spending more time just praying to God, reading the Word. Had a little bit more time here and there, and there's been nothing better for my soul and nothing better for your soul that we go into our prayer closets and cast our cares upon God who cares for us. Another application, and I'm going to say this a number of times, but do not be fearful. This is exactly what the world is doing, but we're Christians. We do not fear the things of this world. We do not fear that which will and has power to kill our bodies. The world fears death. But as Christians, we worship a risen Savior. Jesus is risen from the dead, and our great enemy, death, has been defeated. So I would say, think about this and do not be anxious, brothers and sisters. Final truth this morning: our mission has not changed. So my question is, what is our mission? What is the mission of God's special people? Matthew 28. We know these verses well, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This command works in any culture, with any people, under any circumstance, no matter how much things change. This means that during an outbreak such as this, we continue with our mission. We make disciples. We proclaim the gospel of Christ. And we teach those who believe all that He has commanded. Now, as we think about making disciples now in this situation, first, let's think inwardly for just a moment. This happens as a church as we gather weekly as God's special people. And we take part in the normal means of grace, the preaching of the word, the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs together and to one another. We pray. We have fellowship one with another. We take the Lord's Supper. We baptize. But in this time, which is something that hasn't really happened on this scale since World War II, to my knowledge, we cannot meet, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, do not forsake the gathering together of God's people. This is so important. But I believe we do have the freedom as Christians in this time, as we try our best to love our neighbor, to take care of the spread of this virus in this place, in this state, in this country, and in the world by not meeting at this time. And plus, we don't have a building. We don't even have that option, really, except to meet in smaller groups. And so we are free to do that. So let me ask, what do we do for this time as we think about our own discipleship, teaching them to obey all that Christ has commanded, our sanctification process at this time? Well, first, the elders will make sure that we have a weekly sermon like this. For now, it will be audio and can be uploaded as normal. I would ask that you make it a priority as families to gather together on Sundays and listen together. Talk about it for a few minutes afterwards. Pray about the applications. Ask God to give great grace as you listen to the preaching and teaching of the Word. In the coming weeks, I will continue to preach, or one of the elders will. It probably will be me. But I will both do topical sermons, I think, as the Lord leads. And if things continue, probably we'll return to the book of James. But I would like to do a few sermons on, or a couple sermons for sure, on some topical things, again, related to what we are going through now. But we'll probably end up back at the book of James if it continues. Next, our home group leaders will be asked to be in regular contact with their groups. If there are needs, we must do our best to meet them. So as you pray, begin with prayers for your brothers and sisters in your group. Start there. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Call your brothers and sisters in your home groups. Ask how they're doing. Ask how they can pray, how you can pray for them. Ask if there are any needs that might be able to be met at this time. And then continue to pray for the rest of the congregation. We will do our best to keep everyone updated in the church with urgent prayer requests. Also, as we think about how we make disciples one with another, in your homes, we would ask that every family spend some time daily together. I know there may be some times where something will happen. It's already happened in the Sherrill household, where we were all set to read together, but something came up and then we did not. But for the most part, we've been very regular so far. But I would ask you to spend, I would suggest, 15 to 20 minutes every day as a family. All of a sudden, for the most part, we have a lot more time. Here are some suggestions. Read through portions of Scripture. I would ask, if you don't feel comfortable, fathers especially, leading your family in this way, just pick up the Bible and say, hey, we're going to read through a book. Read a chapter or two or three, and then stop. And that be your time for the day. That's one suggestion. I would suggest that as you read, also pray about what you read. That's one thing you can do as a family. Apply what you are learning. Parents, those of you especially with small kids, work on your catechism. Memorize Scripture. There's nothing more helpful to us as we memorize the Word of God together. I would say sing together if you can do that. Some families I know sing very well and some do not, but that's okay. Sing together. I would say another suggestion, read through a book together. Our family's reading through What is the gospel right now? We're reading a chapter a day and talking a little bit about that. Families with small kids or young kids. In fact, middle-aged kids would love this, even adults. I would pick up a good series such as C.S. Lewis and the Narnia series and just read it together. Now, what I would like to do in the coming days, my plan is to Monday to send out some suggestions as to some things that we might be able to do that might help us spend some time together as families daily. And all of these things are more ways we look inwardly as we make disciples. I believe one of the ways that God is working this particular outbreak and what is going on in this world right now for Christians, I think one of the ways He's working it for our good is all of a sudden we are slowing down. I don't know for how long, but when we slow down, we're able to reflect. We're able to think about those simple things in life that are really important. I've heard from a number of you this week, and it is such a blessing to hear how families are spending time together in ways they have not in years. God can send great revival to our families at this time. And I'm praying to that end. I think our elders are as well. Use this time to think about what is really important. As you think and reflect back to your very busy life, that maybe this will be an opportunity for us to put into practice some things that are actually more important, that we might become less busy in the things of this world and more busy in the things of God. That's inwardly, and I'll have more to say that about that in the coming days. But as we think about making disciples, we now turn to our outward witness to the world. Non-Christians around us are fearful. They are anxious. They are panicking. And as God's special people who know God is in control, we must be a light to the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Already, even this afternoon, I've had multiple occasions to share truth. What an opportunity to be a witness, to share good news through the worldview of Scripture and explain to people, this is why we're not fearful. This is why we're not anxious. Our sins are forgiven. Jesus is risen from the dead. He has conquered death. And it gives us an opportunity just to share our worldview through the lens of Scripture. We are God's representatives. And the best way to love our neighbor is to share the gospel of Christ. Now, I realize we're not getting out much, but there will be opportunities. We all have neighbors who will also be at home. We can go around and ask those who are older if we can deliver their groceries. We can ask our neighbors how we can pray for them, how we can help them. For some of us, we can volunteer in our community to help with food deliveries or other such things. So many things we can do, and I am open for suggestions. Send me or one of the elders emails of any thoughts that you might have on how we might be able to reach out to our neighbors at this time. Brothers and sisters, I will just conclude by saying we as Christians are created for such times as this. Jesus will build His church. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. I will be praying for you. Your elders will be praying for you. And we look forward to the days to come because our God is sovereign. He is providentially in control of all things. We are His special people, and our mission has not changed as we look forward to the end when our Lord Jesus will come back. This is a part of our watching and praying. Let's pray together to finish. Thank you, Lord God, for these words. You are good to us. You are sovereign. And Father, we know We are your special people. We love the gospel of Christ. By your Spirit, we are united with Him, and we rejoice. And our mission is still the same. Help us at this time that we might be a city on a hill, that we might be a light, Father, to the nations and to our neighbors. And help us, Father, as this time is upon us, that we might be sanctified. This is your will. To God be the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also join us at the South Row Inn YMCA, 950 Kimball Road in China Grove, North Carolina. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for fellowship, and service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.